We're gonna start. It's 14 minutes past. We are
that's deviation from the topic.
That's you lose, Joe.
I'm sorry. Great. Just quickly, in terms of canon stuff, I'm going to talk. This is not going to be enough. But just very quickly, in terms of the Old Testament, we can kind of say basically Jesus quoted from the law, prophets, and Psalms, and could have kind of told us what wasn't part of the kind of the Old Testament Jewish canon. So he kind of authenticates that. In terms of the New Testament, of the letters that were that had been kind of saved, and we believe that God is sovereign and is able to keep those manuscripts safe. Of those manuscripts, the question of authenticity would simply be, did an apostle write it? In which case it was generally taken to have the apostolic authority, or was it someone kind of within the apostolic circle? So slightly wider than the apostles, but like we've already seen, Mark close to the apostle Peter. We've already seen Luke very closely associated with Paul. We saw Paul, didn't we, authenticate Luke's writing as scripture. Peter the apostle authenticates Paul's writing. So that was kind of like very, very, very broad. That's how decisions were made as to whether letters got included into the canon. Did an apostle write it? Did someone close to the apostles write it? One other book recommendation that isn't going in the free stash is this, The Doctrine of the Word of God by John Frame. It's a bit hefty, but it might give the impression of being hefty, but it's not written as such. John Frame has written loads of doctrine books, and he writes so clearly, so simply, really helpful. So I would recommend Doctrine of the Word of God by John Frame. Just also very quickly, before I hand over to Adele for our last little bit, here are some entries and the winner. This is an entry from Joel for the picture competition about God's word being sweeter than fudge. I'm guessing that is. One from Tom, which was so cheap, Tom. It's basically your profile photo just copied across, but there is, I guess, I'm not sure if that's mainly about Tom or about the creation declaring the wonder of God in the sunrise or sunset. But here's the winner, which is basically the only person that kind of did the extra mile. And that's Stephen saying God's word revives the soul, which is outstanding, I have to say. So well done, Stephen. Those books are somehow coming to you at some point soon. I think that's all I need to say. Adele, could I hand over to you?
Cool, thanks. So in these last few minutes, we're going to have a think about how we listen. Now, I've got a niece and nephew who are 5 and 7. It was slightly terrifying when they last came to visit. They are very good at working out how to use our TV. They didn't need a lesson in how to watch the TV. They were like pros at it. But we are actually going to now have a think about how we listen. I think we talked lots about listening to God's word, but we're just going to slow down and think about how we listen. So before we do that, I'm going to read Psalm 1. So why not turn that up if you've got it? Psalm 1. And it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We're about to head off into breakout rooms. There are two questions there to have a think about on Psalm 1. It's worth knowing that the word kind of blessed in Psalm 1 literally means truly happy. So truly happy is the person who ... So have a think about those contrasts and what images are used in the rest of the psalm. Over to you, and we'll come back in 4 minutes. So I hope that this morning has given us loads and loads of reasons of why we want to spend time listening to God's word. I think actually the Bible says so much more about why we read the Bible rather than specifically how. And so one of the ways in which we can be thinking about listening to God's word is actually thinking back over all those reasons that we've seen all morning of why we listen to God's word. But as we come to a close, we're just going to think of a few kind of practical ways of how we might have a go at making time each day to think about reading God's word. It's just worth saying that with all of the book plugs that we've mentioned and also some of the Bible reading notes that I'm going to mention now, church is open for private prayer. So if you would like to pop into church, you can privately pray and collect some books while you're there. I quite like this to help me in my quiet times, daily reading Bible. This is great. It's got like the passage in it and it's got a few questions. Sometimes you might be thinking, I want answers, but it's okay. It just asks you a few questions that helps you to think about the passage. It gets you kind of reading sections of God's word, and we've got stacks of them at church. So you can read like different bits, different kind of books, different genres, try anything and everything. Or there are these called the, these are usually working through a Bible book. We've got them on things like Daniel or Acts or Romans. Trying to think what else we've got. These are read a passage and then somebody has written some thoughts about the passage that kind of help you to pray. I love that these are undated. They are guilt-free. One of the joys of the Christian life is that our Father wants to speak to us. And if we forget to listen to him one day, it's okay. He's gracious and kind. And when we come back to him the next day, he longs to speak to us. So these are a great thing to have a look at. But the other thing to think about is because the Bible says so much more about why rather than specifically how. I think even things like reflecting on a Sunday sermon on a Monday morning, or even having a look at a bit of Romans before small group or after small group, if we're reflecting on what we're hearing and if we're thinking about it, then that is us listening to God's word. I think I've chatted to people over the years who are kind of, I haven't got time for a quiet time. I want to read Sunday's sermon. I want to do my prep for small group and I want to do this and that. And it's like, you're listening to God's word. He wants to speak to us. And so we long to listen. So I think even just thinking about what you're doing in small group is a good thing to do. Or maybe you've enjoyed some of those Psalms that we've looked at this morning. Why not print a few of them out? Jot down your notes all over them, kind of look at the pictures that we see in the Psalms. Maybe read one Psalm every day for a week and try and memorize it. We don't need to do something different every day. Or maybe you really love your novels and you get really stuck into a good book. Well, what about treating some of the Old Testament stories a bit more like novels, where we get engrossed in them? The God of Exodus, where we get stuck into the good and the bad kings, or maybe we're up for kind of a bit of battle narrative, and so we get stuck into all the battles and fights in Joshua. It's okay to just read like a few big chunks. I think at Christchurch, we tend to read kind of New Testament letters in lots of little like half chapter sections. What about just sitting down each morning and going, I'm going to read the whole of Philippians or the whole of Colossians and think this was a letter that actually arrived on the doorstep to a church. So just, I think because the Bible says so much more about why we listen, we can be a bit more creative with thinking about how we listen and maybe thinking a bit more about what we see during the week already from God's word and how that might grow and change us. I've put some questions on the handout. Perhaps you can reflect on those after this morning, or maybe they might be a good thing to do in kind of in a quiet time, maybe this week. Now, I've got a bit that we could do on sermons, but it's gone 12:30. Greg, what should we do?
How long is it?
I think it could be like 5, 10 minutes.
We'll keep going. If we have like a brief pause now, just in terms of kind of saying, we said we'd finish at 12:30. We're overrunning slightly. Do stay on. If not, hopefully you've got Adele's email about the plans for tomorrow night over Zoom. Do join over Zoom for Sunday evening service. Otherwise, we'll just press on.
Okay. Here are my kind of little top tips on listening to sermons with my handy little acrostic thing, Hear God. So first one to think about is coming to God humbly. And I think part of coming to a sermon humbly is admitting that God knows us better than we know ourselves. I love my stationery. I love a good new notebook that's nice and clean. But actually we don't come to sermons, we don't come to God's word as a clean slate. We come with all sorts of baggage, we come with assumptions, we come with beliefs that we need to surrender to the Lord. And so coming humbly means coming that we admit that we need to change. Coming humbly means that we'll hear hard truths, maybe about who we are, or maybe what God is like. I love this little phrase, God is still God, the gospel is still true, and heaven is still real. God is still God, the gospel is still true, heaven is still real. That can be a great encouragement in hard times. It's a great encouragement in lockdown, but it's also a really great attitude to come to a sermon with. God is God. I need to acknowledge that. I am not God, and he knows what is best for me. Next way to come to sermons is expectantly. We've been thinking all this morning about how we listen to God's word, how it's the very voice of God. It's not a casual kind of flippant thing, but it is our Heavenly Father addressing us. And Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, thanks God that these guys didn't hear God's word just as human words, but they accepted it as the very word of God. Now, in one sense, we're expecting a sermon. I mean, that's what happens when we are at church. But are we expectant in our hearts? Expectant that our Heavenly Father is going to speak to us? Expectant that we're going to hear from him and that he's going to want to change us? And I wonder how that expectancy, if that's a word, changes how we prepare. Are we kind of ready to listen? Are we not so tired that actually we're going to doze off? Thirdly, we're going to think about actively listening. As in, are you a passive listener or an active listener? Maybe you just want to kind of switch off and just kind of be a bit kind of easily brainwashed by what you're hearing, or are you actively going to listen? Now, that doesn't just mean actively listening out for the funny stories or did we like what the preacher said, but actively listening to think, what was the preacher kind of pressing home to us? Actively listening so that we can hear that what the preacher is saying is what God's word is saying. Actively listening so that we're not just sucked into hearing what the preacher says, but listening to what God's word is actually saying. Next, regularly. A few years ago, I went for a drink with a lady from the Sunday morning congregation who had a revolutionary light bulb moment about Sunday sermons. She realised they follow on from each other. She realised that sermons weren't random, that we didn't just do random passages, but that actually we work through a section or we work through a Bible book. Now, you may know that we're in a series, but I wonder if that kind of regularity of sermons changes how we think about them. So we're going to be in Luke's gospel for a while. We're going to be in Romans for a while. How are we regularly letting those themes of Luke and Romans change us, helping us to see more of our Heavenly Father's character and his plans? Sermons are, they are a wonderful thing each week, but they will actually build kind of cumulatively as we are in those kind of books of Luke at the moment, or Romans in small group. My G is a bit tenuous, geographically or gathered, which is also really difficult now because of lockdown things. But we were meant to gather together. Technology has been a wonderful provision during lockdown, but it's not something that we want to carry on with when it's safe to meet all together in church. I think one of the frustrations of lockdown has been that we haven't all been able to be there together. And I wonder if lockdown is really going to teach us of the kind of the gathered geographical sense of like listening together and being able to have that hot chocolate in the dark has just helped us to think there's real benefit of being together. Next one, obediently. As in, sermons are not just information. They're not just to sort of say, yes, here is a truth I know about God. Sometimes we might hear really familiar truths that we know all about. But do you remember those verses from 2 Timothy that we looked at earlier this morning? He's teaching us what we ought to believe. He's rebuking us in what we ought not to believe. We're having our behaviour corrected. We're being trained in how we should live. So if we listen obediently, I think we'll be thinking, am I willing to be changed? Am I willing to hear things that needs to change in my life? Or does my thinking about God need to change? Finally, are we listening to sermons daily? Now, I don't mean, you know, physically coming to church each day. I don't even mean re-listening over the website or on the app. But is a Sunday sermon a thing that is daily changing us and helping us to repent and believe the gospel? Earlier on today, we looked at Psalm 95. And that's a really, really strong warning that is given to God's people in the Old Testament and to the people in Hebrews not to harden their hearts to God's words. So it's really dangerous to listen, but to not let it change us. So are we going to wake up each day thinking, what have I heard from God's words? How is it changing me? So there are my Hear God summaries of how to listen to sermons in a way that helps it last beyond just, 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, but begins to change and shape us. Because ultimately, God has given us this, his very precious words, and he longs for us to listen.